Praise God. Amen. Join me in your Bibles or your device, whatever you got, and however you're getting into the Word this morning, over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Glory to God. Great, great Easter Sunday service we had last week. And before that, we had been in a series that we're going to continue today, in which we've just been calling it, I don't know what we've been calling it, the will of God. Amen, the will of God. And God's just dealt with me more about that, and we're going to move forward in that today. Won't be able to say, you know, we've been in it for about 5 weeks, all that we've said already. So we'd encourage you to go back if you've missed those and catch up with us. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2. You guys trust I've already prayed?
Yes, sir.
We're in faith, aren't we? Praise God. So these verses, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, have been our golden text for these times of ministry. Here John says, love not the world. Well, we could, and we have spent some time on that. How important that is to, you know, to heed this instruction. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what a statement comes next. The love of the Father is not in them. So loving the world, no matter what we profess, you know, in our heart and mind, whatever we profess, claim, you know, in terms to be a man or a woman of faith, this verse says the love of God is not in you if you really do love the world. So evidence of true conversion that someone's given their life to Jesus is they don't think of the world the way they used to. Amen? You know, in terms of location, heaven and earth, who's home and who's absent? My mom died a baby Christian. She got born again. 6 months later, she died. She went to heaven. Is she home or absent? She's home. What's that make us?
Absent.
We're on the foreign field. Heaven is home. Well, it's okay to love home. Right? We ought to be a lot more kingdom-minded and heavenly-minded than we are world-minded. Pleasure-minded. Things of the world-minded. Not that you can't have some things in your life that you like, that you enjoy. The Bible says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. This is talking about where's your passion? Where's your love? What are you living for? What do you care the most supremely about? What is defining your life? Is it getting a new boat? It's fine to have a boat, but that's not my passion in life. It's really fine to look forward to the golf course, but I'm not living for the golf course. Amen. It would do you well to stop saying, I love my car. It would just do you well to just retrain yourself. I don't love things. I love God. And I love people. I like things. And it just help you. A little tweak. You keep things straight. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he, come on now, look, he that does the will of God abides forever. Everything we do down here on this dusty planet that is part of the will of God will remain. It will echo. It will last. It carries a reward.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. And so I appreciate the Apostle John putting this in here. We need to place a much higher premium as believers on the will of God than we have. Amen. Join me now over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. So that's going to be the other extreme going left into your Old Testament. 1 Kings and chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'll remind you of something the Lord said to me several years ago. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but just very distinctly up within my heart, I heard these words. Son, you have health and you have wealth. And when I say wealth, I just simply mean I know what God means, right? He's not talking about a dollar amount. He's talking about I have a flow of finances from Him into my life. Yeah. Amen. He said, you have wealth. You have and enjoy my protection. You have a wife who loves you. You have kids that love me. You have joy. You have peace. You have fulfillment. He said, son, you have all these things because you're in my will.
Amen.
You know, getting saved, that's His will.
Yeah.
But then the will, that's the broadest exposure you could have to the will of God is get saved. The Bible says it's not His will that any man perish, but that every man receive eternal life and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's His will.
Yes.
But how many of you know that when it comes down to, that's where the will of God begins, but as we walk with God, it's going to get, those boundaries are going to get, it's going to get more narrow, 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 and you're going to find out, Brianna, what you're born to do for God. And all of that is encompassing what I'm talking about being in the will of God.
Amen.
So He is pointing out to me by His Spirit that the things I have from Him, the kind of life I have, amen? I have, not because I've earned it, but because these are things that go with.
Yes.
These are the things that accompany the will of God.
Amen?
Amen? Healing is His will. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you're not assured of that. Get into our bookstore. Amen? And find out what the will of God, what the Bible really says about your healing. He wills your healing.
Amen.
He wills your peace. He wills your family to be sweet.
Yeah.
Amen? But here in 1 Kings, I had the great privilege of sitting in to a live recording with Pastor Nancy Dufresne in her TV studio. And she was, ministering to her TV audience. And she referenced this scripture. And I thought it was so good. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14. Verse 14. It says, but if you, God says to Solomon, but if you will walk in my ways. That sounds like being in the will of God. If you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk or live, then I will, look at this, I will lengthen your days. I will lengthen your days. And then Pastor Nancy related something that the Spirit of God said to her. I just related to you something the Spirit of God said to me about what's connected to the will of God. She was writing a book called God the Revealer of Secrets. And it's a book about how to discover, that's what we're going to talk about today, how to discover God's plan.
Amen.
It's one thing to know that there is a will of God for your life, but you got to know how to find that out.
Yeah.
You can't Google it. You can't ask Gemini. You can't ask AI.
Yeah.
What's the will of God for my life? If you want the knowledge of God's will for your life, I can't even give it to you as your pastor. There's one source, one place. If you want to know the will of God for your life, you've got to go talk to the one who authored it.
Yes.
He's the only one that could reveal it to you with any great specificity.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But the Lord, the Spirit of God, she said to her, make my people to know that long life is connected to my plan.
Yeah. That's right.
Long life is connected to God's plan. Well, here's a scripture. Before Solomon even begins to walk in God's plan for his life as a king, the king of Israel, God tells him, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll heed my word, you'll walk in my statutes and my commandments. He said, just like your daddy did. Amen. He said, then I'll lengthen your days. You know, just because somebody dies doesn't mean they died on time. Verses like this, and there are many in the Bible, would have no meaning if everybody who died on time. God called their number. If God really calls your number, you will have lived a long life. Let's go to Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 16, God says, with long life. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God's will. Now, how do we tap into the benefits of Psalm 91? All of those verses in there have so many wonderful blessings. Well, you got to do verse 1. Verse 1 says, he that dwells, not he that's human. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Are you saying of the Lord? I say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He is my God. And in him do I put my trust.
Amen.
Amen. When was the last time you said something like that with your mouth? You need to. Amen. But long life, everyone, is connected to God's plan. So we're moving forward. How do I know? How can I uncover the mystery? How can I make the unknown, what is unknown to me about why I exist, about what God has authored for my life? How do I take that unknown thing and make it known? Well, let me just touch on something that I've already spent some time on. Number one, you have to have been and stay ongoingly about the work of renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. Remember, we're not going to go there, but Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we should be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove. That word prove means to discern. I like to use the word see. To see what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Well, see, if we're being conformed to the world, that's why John said, don't love the world. Don't let yourself be patterned by the world. Don't let the influences of the world shape the way you think, what you believe about what's right and wrong. The culture is not God. Oh my God, the culture is not God. You want to get anywhere close to living like God wants you to live? Look at what the world's doing and go the 100% opposite direction. Run the opposite way. We're living in a generation that Isaiah warned about. Woe unto the man that calls evil good and good evil. Yeah. So he said, do not be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now see, we're born again. We're alive unto God in our spirit through the new birth. But nothing happened with our mind. Nothing happened when we got saved with our mind. So the next step is to do something with our mind, and that involves you. You have to get into the book. Put your nose into the book. Amen. And study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Not to just say you read it, but you're looking for how does God think about this and that? What is right and what's wrong? What's true and what's not? Amen. And then you begin to bring your words and your thoughts and then your actions into harmony with what God says in His book. So the Word of God says, it speaks so much about forgiveness, not holding grudges, not being bitter, not being offended. Well, if you've walked around the planet very long, you've had an opportunity to be bitter and get angry and hold a grudge and be offended. So someone who's renewing their mind on the Word of God goes to combat that. Says to themselves, no, I'm letting that go. I let that go. The Word of God says, forgive. So I forgive. Not as a feeling, but by faith. I'm acting on the Word of God. I forgive. I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to harbor a grudge. Amen? It's just one little example. And you just begin to live this way. Well, the more your mind becomes renewed to the Word of God, the more you'll be able to see, discern about the good, acceptable, perfect will of God for your life. Because, I'm going to say this again, the unrenewed mind is blind to the will of God. If God revealed to me with a completely unrenewed mind that I was called to preach, I would have mocked that, thrown stones at it, and run right the other way. So God had to wait till I became open in my mind and heart enough for Him to be able to reveal that to me so that I wouldn't reject what He reveals.
Right. Amen.
And so you think about what is currently veiled to you today, what is currently the will of God for your life, but it's locked away in a safe. You can't see it because your mind is not sufficiently renewed. And yet long life is connected to God's plan. You got to get that safe open. You've got to come into the knowledge of God's plan for your life in a more specific way. So that would motivate me to turn the clicker off and get into my Bible a little bit more. Come to church a little bit more often. Spend a little bit more time in prayer. Amen. So that is paramount. That's number one. But we're moving on from there. We're moving on from there. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I'm going to bypass some things here. They're good, but for time's sake. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just saved you a lot of time. Aren't you thankful to me? But you also missed out on some good scriptures. That's all right. Praise God. Glory to God. God's helping us. God's helping us. We could tie this into what we were talking about during the offering time. God told Pastor Oyedepo, sitting in the sand, there's a place for you at the top. If you're interested. Well, that was going to encompass following God's plan very carefully for his life. Amen. So here's a wonderful refrigerator scripture. A lot of people know this and quote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Says, but as it is written, no eye has seen, where is that? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. Isn't that wonderful? God has prepared some things for them that love Him. Do you love Him? Yeah, you love Him, don't you? Think about how sweet that is. God has prepared things for you. He's prepared things for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans, God knows the plans. Lexham English says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans for your prosperity. That's what the Lexham English translation says, plans for your prosperity. You know, when you follow God, God's not planning for your poverty. He's not planning for your struggle. He's not planning for your defeat. He's not planning for your demise. He's not planning for your depression. He's not planning for you to be afraid. Come on, He's planning good things. Well, most Christians I know, religious tradition acts like 1 Corinthians chapter 2 stops right there in verse 9. That's where they stop. And they'll say things like, see, you're just never going to know what God's going to do. There's just no way you could know what God's going to do. And they never read verse 10. Amen. But look at what verse 10 says. But God, amen, God has revealed them unto us. I wrote my Bible, me. I make it personal. Me, how? By His Spirit. How is God going to reveal the things that your natural eye will never see? What your physical ear will never hear? One translation I really studied that has not entered into his heart, that bothered me because of other scriptures that I know. And there is some truth to some Greek definition here that says, it will not bubble up in your heart until the Spirit of God reveals it. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one that lives on the inside of every newly born again believer, He has something to do, doesn't He?
Yeah.
About you finding out the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Well, how acquainted are you with the Holy Ghost? How acquainted are you? How tight are you with the Holy Ghost? I would say that if you've been in the habit or practice of violating your conscience and suppressing your conscience to do what you want to do, that there's a rift between you and the Holy Ghost. Amen. But that rift can be healed very quickly. Aren't you glad the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? He will never leave us. He will never leave us.
Amen.
So let's move on. This passage is so, so rich, and it's worthy of examination. God has revealed them the unseen, unheard things that God has prepared by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man? Now that phrase, the things of a man, you could say the will of God for his life.
Yes.
What man knoweth the things of the spirit of, the will of God for a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? God deposited. He put in you the knowledge of his will.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit moved into your life. It's not in your mind. It's not in your mind. It is in your spirit. It is in your spirit. You are a spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been made joined with your spirit. They're now joined and connected together. That's what's going to make you live for eternity. The Holy Spirit is the Duracell battery that never needs charging. Amen. So just like no man knows the will of God for a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. So see, how are you ever going to discover what's in you if you don't ever find out that you are a spirit? If you're just living out of your mind, if you're just living by human reasoning, and let's just be honest, the vast majority of human beings, that's all they know to do, is to just use their thinker and their reasoner and to figure it out. And many people have worn tracks in their carpet trying to figure it out. Figure it out. What are we going to do? Listen, I am good news this morning. You are released. You're free from figuring it out. Instead of figuring it out, we're back to Psalm 23. Follow Him. He's already got it figured out. Nothing about your situation, past, present, or future, has got him puzzled.
Amen.
Amen. So it goes on and says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, isn't it interesting, connecting this with our passage back in 1 John, we have received not the spirit of the world. See, if you're all caught up with cares of the world, activities of the world, love for the world, distracted by the world, going after the things of the world, you're drowning out the voice of the Spirit in your life. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Oh, I love this. That we might know. Come on. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Glory to God. Amen. Look at verse 14. But the natural man or the carnal man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually seen or spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, oh, are we spiritual? He that is spiritual judges or discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So if you go back to verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Go with me back to the left, just a few pages to Romans chapter 8. And I want you to think about that word, searcheth. The Spirit of God searcheth all things. And where is he? Living on the inside of every believer. That is why when songs come up that say, I look unto the hills from whence my help comes from. That's Old Testament psalm. I always have them change the word. Because I'm not looking to no hill. We sang it today. We changed the words of that song. We look within where our help comes from. Where's your help coming from? I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. Ha ha ha. I'm right at the beginning place of trying to figure out what God wants me to do with my life. Well, praise God. No fear. No fear. Glory to God. Are you born again? Are you born again? Then the one that knows is living on the inside of you. When I get in trouble or when I need an answer, I don't look out here. I look in here. And I'm not bombarding some distant gate in heaven. Heaven came to live in me by the Holy Spirit. Your help is close by. I said, your help is close by. Glory to God. So look with me at verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Skip all the way down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, who?
The Spirit.
A reference to the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also, what does He do? He helpeth. Oh, thank God, He helpeth. He helps our infirmities. This word infirmities just simply means a weakness. A weakness. It's not talking about disease. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Now, what's our weakness? He's going to tell you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It didn't say we don't know how to pray. It says we don't know what to pray as we ought many times. And listen, that's a weakness. Not knowing what to pray as we ought. And we're all in this boat, but thank God the Spirit of God has come to help us with this weakness. But the Spirit itself, King James got that messed up. New King James corrects it. It's Himself. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Meaning, not in a known language. Not in a known language. Now here we are at verse 27. He that searcheth. This is the second time we've seen this, right? Talking about what's hidden to the eye. The things that God has prepared. We can't create a to-do list skillful enough. We can't think deeply enough to uncover God's plan. But the Spirit searcheth the mind of God. Here He searcheth. He searcheth the hearts. Knowing what is the mind of the Spirit. For He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
The long and short of it is that it is through prayer. It is through prayer. More specifically, if you want the pinnacle, if you want the highest flow, if you want the best God offered, you've not just got to be born again, but you need to be infilled or filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues to get to the pinnacle, to tap into the highest help that God offers. Here, verse 26 through 28 is a reference to the Holy Spirit helping us to pray when we don't know what we ought to pray. He is interceding through us. Through words that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. The great Greek scholar P.C. Nelson studied the Greek words through groanings that cannot be uttered. Says that these are utterances that cannot be articulated with articulate speech, meaning your trained speech or your known speech. And it is a reference to speaking with other tongues.
Right.
Now, I understand that this is where a lot of believers part ways with one another. Don't do that here with me.
Right.
If you don't see it, don't want to see it, not interested, that doesn't mean you should stop coming here.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. But I pray that you would be open to something beyond what you heard all your life. If you saw it in the scriptures. Because the number one way, one of the number one ways the Holy Spirit helps us is by giving us utterance in other tongues to pray. And so be cautious and studious and careful before you dismiss tongues out of hand because the church you grew up in told you something different. Give the word, give me a chance to bring you into a flow that God designed in His genius to give us a tool by which we can pray out the unknown and make it known. When it's unknown to your brain.
Amen.
A prayer process that totally bypasses your reasoning faculties. So right here, and these pages are all close by, back to 1 Corinthians, this time to chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Regardless of, if you're watching, you're sitting in this auditorium this morning, regardless of how you feel about tongues, do you esteem the Apostle Paul? Can we agree that the Apostle Paul is kind of a big deal in the New Testament, in the plan of God. He wrote 2/3 of the letters of the New Testament. Amen. Let's look at something that the esteemed Apostle Paul said about himself in verse 18. Paul says, I thank God, my God, I speak with tongues. Well, if you esteem the Apostle Paul, maybe you're not sure about this firebrand preacher, Chris Cody, in Paducah, Kentucky, but you do feel pretty good about the Apostle Paul. What did he say? He said, I thank my God. I pray in tongues. I speak with tongues. Then what did he say? More than ye all. Many translations say that the Greek actually says more than all of you Corinthians put together. And they were a tongue-talking bunch. This chapter is actually trying to get them to simmer down a little bit with tongues and to bring some order into their church with tongues. I mean, they were tongue talkers. If you read the chapter. Yeah. And Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you put together. I wonder if there's any link between Paul speaking in tongues more than ye all and him having more revelation than any of the other apostles about the plan of God. Where did he get all that revelation? How did he have such insight? Just think about it. Paul said, I would that you all spoke with tongues in this chapter. So if you esteem Apostle Paul, hear him say, the Cody translation would say something like, if I had my way, all of you would speak with tongues. All of you would speak with tongues. Well, Pastor, okay, you know, I hear that, and Paul did. I see that. I've always known that. But tongues passed away. Well, honey, who told you that? I'm not attacking anybody, but who told you tongues passed away? Well, my church told me that. What scripture did they give you? I'll just wait for your response. The scripture they try to use is right here in the 13th chapter. I'll show you the scripture they try to use in this wonderful love chapter. It says in verse number 8, charity or love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, now notice what it says. It says they shall fail or cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there is knowledge, it shall cease or vanish away. And they'll say, see, tongues passed away. Hold your horses. Hold up a minute. I'm just an Okie from Muskogee, but my mama taught me to read. This says that prophecies shall cease. Have they? Many of our denominational friends, and they're right about it, will tell us that prophecies includes inspired preaching. Has inspired preaching ceased today, 2024, in the body of Christ? No. No. Okay, let's skip the tongues and then go to knowledge. Did it say knowledge has passed away? As Paul's writing this, just want to let y'all know, knowledge passed away last week. No, it says knowledge will someday. Knowledge will pass away someday. Because one day when we get to heaven, we're going to know as we are known. But we're not at that day yet, are we? So most people agree, prophecies inspired preaching and utterances, they've not passed away. Knowledge has not passed away. Why are you going to pick on tongues then? You're going to pick on tongues because you don't like it. Because it makes your flesh uncomfortable. Because you were religiously brainwashed, not Bible taught. And the tragedy is, if that's happened to us, then we have been steered away from the very divine spiritual tool God gave us to pray out the will of God for our lives, to make the unknown known. And believers abide in unnecessary ignorance about the will of God for their life because they're not tapping into all the help that God made available. You never want to speak in tongues, let's still be friends. I've never said that you have to be filled with the Spirit and speak with tongues to go to heaven or to be a member of this church or whatever. But I'm just telling you that one little scripture has been misused. And that little argument about tongues passed away doesn't hold scriptural water. So you're going to have to find somewhere else to go if you're going to be anti-speaking with tongues. In my opinion. Maybe you see something in there I don't. Let's look at something relative to this in 1 Corinthians chapter, and I understand what time it is. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you're right there, I don't even have to turn my page. Verse 2. Paul again writing says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." That's why it doesn't matter if you understand what you're saying or not. You're not talking to people, and you're not talking to you. You're talking to God, and God understands it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one authoring the utterance. He's the one in you giving you the utterance. But let's just lay aside all of our preconceived ideas and thoughts, and let's just read the scripture. "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit or however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Amen. Oh, glory to God. I think the Amplified says he speaks divine secrets. He speaks divine secrets. Well, is anything a secret to God? Is anything a mystery to God? No. It's a secret to us. It's a mystery to us. Oh, so blessed and changed my life. Glory to God. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaks divine secrets. We'll close over here in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. And nobody's got to feel uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. And he'll live in you, and he'll be big in you, and he'll help you, and he'll bear witness with you in your spirit. Amen. And he'll enlighten the scriptures to you. Amen. And he'll help you as much as you'll let him. Amen. But if you'll follow him into this experience, he'll be able to help you on a level. You ever watch the race cars? And this one guy, maybe they're going, they got the pedals to the metal and it's an equal race, but this one guy over here has got this red button. And it's got the NOS in there. I don't even know what that stands for. Nitrogen something. And he flips up the thing and goes, bam. And something kicks in on that car. That's the baptism with the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. You got a car and it runs. May run good. But if you want the NOS option, Just let Him come on you. Many people I know, before they were ever prayed for, before they ever knew this, they could have spoken in tongues had they allowed themselves to. Because He's in there. And they'll get over into a certain place in praise or worship or fellowship with God, and something will come coming up, and they'll be, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? Yeah. Because He's in there. And He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. Two scriptures I want to point you to before we close today in Proverbs chapter 20. So look at chapter 20, verse 5. Counsel, according to the verse, where is counsel? In the heart of a man. That's a reference to your spirit. Remember I told you when you got born again, God deposited everything you're ever going to need to know, brother. Not in your brain. It's not in the frontal lobe. It's not in the cerebral cortex. It's not in the ganglia, whatever they call that, amygdala. It's in your spirit.
Right.
In your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Counsel in the spirit of a man, what's it like?
Deep.
Here's that word deep again. God gave the Holy Spirit to get the deep things out.
Amen.
To get the deep things up to the surface. Counsel in the heart of the man is like deep water. But a man of understanding, what will he do?
Draw it out.
Oh, come on. He'll draw it out. Where is it in your spirit, Marilyn? It's like deep water. It's in there. But it's not floating on the top where you could see it and easily scoop it off. That knowledge, that wisdom. But it's in there. But it's in there like deep water. Now skip it down into the chapter to verse number 27. The spirit of man is the candle or the flashlight of the Lord, searching all the inwardmost parts of the being or the belly. Two very important scriptures in the Old Testament highlighting how we live in the new as born again, spirit-filled Christians. The spirit of man is the flashlight of the Lord. Click. Not your brain. You know what's tragic? Sending a high school graduate into a college guidance counselor and expecting that college guidance counselor to craft the rest of their life. That's... You want to talk about how to get a human off? I know they're just trying to do it, but they don't know this stuff. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of what you were born to do, the will of God for your life can be known, but you got to make it known. And if you love fishing, you'll love speaking with tongues. If you love fishing, right? Right? Because just to illustrate this before we go home, when I need to know something or when I'm wanting to find out what's next, Father? Am I heading in the right direction? What is the will of God for my life? I know the mind of the Spirit knows the mind of God. And the Spirit of God, I hope I'm not complicating it, the Spirit of God is in my spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And He gives me utterance that I can speak forth divine mysteries. So that's my fish hook and my fishing pole. And I'll just, Father, I thank You. I'm going to spend some time while I'm driving down the road praying out divine secrets, talking to You about the will of God for my life. Because I know it's in me. You're in me. The answers are in me. The light, the direction, the clarity, what I need to do, what I need to pursue. Is this relationship right for me? Is starting a business, is that the will of God for me? Whatever it may be. Father, I thank You. Now, Holy Spirit, I yield to You. Give me utterance and then just take off. Rombo shtenge ma la bandingi salango sto leng zin bangosht manda ere hosekana ma lende shtamo onde ge shtinga lopo ninge. And you know what I'm doing? It's in me, but it's like deep water. If I'll yield to the Spirit long enough, the knowledge of His will float up to the surface of your spirit. And when that happens, your mind grabs it. Your mind goes. And all of a sudden you got that, what we call that light bulb experience. See, some of you are nodding your head like you've been there. Have you ever been there? The first time this happened to me shocked me. I got filled with the Spirit at Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries, 1995, something like that. My wife elbowed me into the will of God there. I wasn't about to go down there, but she elbowed me into the will. I was either going to do that or have bruised ribs. But I went down and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Spoke with other tongues, first time. Methodist boy. If I was anything, you know. And so I went home and would just spend a few minutes, and I promise I'm almost done, praying in that, praying just like that. Just praying just like that. Now, does my mind know what I'm saying?
No.
I could be writing a grocery list. I could be thinking about a comic book and still praying in tongues like that. Totally bypass your mind. Totally bypass your mind. Since the ninth grade up until I was a sophomore in college, all I was going to do with my life, all I was planning to do was to go in, I was going to get a radiation therapy technician degree. And then if I was ambitious enough and wanted to, I was going to go on and get a radiology degree and treat cancer. That was my plan. Ninth grade, 15 years old, sophomore in college, that's what I was going to do. Problem, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the first thing that happened as I prayed in the Spirit, all my plans, it's like someone came along, Brother Cody, with a knife and slashed all my tires. It just died. All that died in me. All that dream, all that desire went. And now I'm like at nowhere land. But I kept praying. Not all in one session. 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, come back. Just knew. Greeny, didn't know these things. And then as I prayed in other tongues, 15, 20 minutes at a time, all of a sudden, out of left field comes this desire to go in the ministry. What is that? I'm not acting on somebody's prophecy. My mama didn't talk me into it. But I spent enough time praying in tongues to kill the wrong desires. And to draw to the surface the very thing that God had for me all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The very thing that I was born for.
Yes.
And when I got it up to where you could get the net, the fish with the net, my mind grabbed it. Mm-hmm. My mind grabbed it, but my heart was going, this is right. Mm-hmm. This is it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the direction. Go that way. He didn't fill in every blank for me for the next 20 years. But now I have a direction. I have something to reach for. And there is no limit to anything that you want to know about that pertains to your life. There's nothing unknown that you cannot bring into the realm of the known. Why do I struggle with bring that before the Father? The answer's in you.
Amen.
Should I go this way? Is this relationship safe for me? Because you can't Google that either. You can't turn to Zephaniah 6:12 and read, don't marry that guy. You know, you just... But you can know. You can dot every I. You can cross every T by learning how to pray. Making unknown things known. Mm-hmm. Learning how to... It also makes your spirit very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when He leads you in other ways, it's possible, guys and gals, never to make another bad decision again.
Amen.
Never to make another mistake again.
Amen.
But how interested are we
in
following God's plan? And many of us in this room, we do speak with tongues, don't we? We are filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
But are you giving yourself to this great privilege?
Amen.
How much time are you spending in prayer speaking with other tongues? And I encourage you, ramp it up.
Amen.
Ramp it up. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't feel led to give an altar call today, but listen, I would not deny you the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I linger right here until people are done with me every Sunday. But you don't need me either. God does use me. But you don't need me. You can get by yourself in your car or in your prayer closet and say, Father, I want that. You live in me. Baptize me, Jesus. Fill me. I want all that you have for me. I want all of the Holy Spirit's movement and graces and gifts that are available. Amen. And then don't look to your mind, look in here. That awkward, strange language you heard me say, it didn't come from here. I didn't generate it with my noodle. It floats up, and I just give voice to it. And He's faithful. He's in there if you're born again. But if you're interested, anyone that would like this today, it's free today. Today only. This little book I wrote, What Does It Mean to Be Spirit-Filled? How did the Baptist, you know, how did a little, I don't mean to mention denominations, I'm sorry about that. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying, how did I go from being a denominational boy to believing the way I do now? What were the questions that I had to have overcome? They're all in here with the scriptures that go with it, along with 10 Bible reasons why you should speak with tongues every day of your life. It's free to anybody that wants it today. Amen. We'll just sow a seed into your life. Amen. Amen. Let's stand on our feet today. Praise God. I hope you got something out of that today.